I went out to California, the Spiritual Leadership Conference, and I could tell throughout the week there was something on his heart. And as we got towards the end of the Spiritual Leadership Conference, he came to me and said, "Preacher, I'm ready to go pastor again and plant a church." And I knew it was coming. In fact, him and I had discussed when he came on staff that I understand you're going to want to pastor again. And whenever you do, we want to support you and help you and all of that. So, but what a tremendous blessing he was. Really, we love Jesse Latta around here. Brother Latta did a wonderful job. But this man right here is the one who put the foundation down that established that youth department rock solid, honestly, rock solid. And continues, Brother Jonathan Moore, Dr. J. Moore, is actually reaping the benefits as well of Brother Stone's ministry here. And I mean that sincerely. And I appreciate you, Brother Stone. That's enough introduction. You got like, you know, anyway, come on. I've been bugging him. Come on, preach for us. Miss Sim, thank you for sticking with Brother Stone.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. Well, you know, honestly, I really have to say that, like you said, I'd never been a youth pastor before. I went straight from Bible college to church planting and just became a pastor. And when we became the youth pastor, I realized how much I loved it. It was so much fun. I got to do things. I lived an hour and a half away from the base of Mount Rainier for 10 years and never went snow skiing. And I had to come back to Texas to go to Colorado to go snow skiing. I even tried to talk my way out of it. But I went, and so I had a great time with doing that. I didn't know how to do it. I spent the first half a day on the bunny slope. And then her brother with a broken arm said, "Come follow me. I'll show you how to ski." Right? He had one arm in a sling, and he taught me how to ski. And once I got skiing, I said, "This is great." But anyway, you know, the greatest part about it was being able to say, "Well, you have to talk to Pastor about that." You know, that was, I could pass the buck. No, honestly, there's two things I have to say. Number one, we had a tremendous group of teenagers, and they were just awesome. They were absolutely awesome. The second thing that I would say was I had a great wife, and I know that that makes all the difference in the world. She loved the fire out of them, and I know that they loved the fire out of her too, and that made all the difference in the world. And so it was a pleasure. It really was. If I'd known how wonderful it was, I probably would have been a youth pastor long before I became a pastor. But I enjoyed it, and thank you again. I enjoy being back. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity to come here. And happy anniversary. Happy anniversary, Heritage Baptist Church. I remember your humble beginnings. I remember when the church started. I remember preaching in that Lake Worth Community Center, Civic Center, something like that. I remember standing room only. I remember that. Folks were lined against the wall. It was amazing. And I remember the humble beginnings. And look what God has brought you through over these past 22 years. Isn't that amazing? Hundreds, if not thousands, of people saved. Literally, probably thousands. I know that as a youth pastor, I got to see a lot of souls get saved, a lot of teenagers get saved. They're obviously not all here today because people move on. Things change. Life happens. But thousands of people saved in this ministry right here. I know that. Lives changed. Families restored. Weddings. Babies. Baby dedications. From rented facilities to a multi-building campus, young men and women called to full-time ministry, churches started. I asked Pastor last night for a couple of statistics. He wrote these down for me, and he mentioned them again this morning. Over $3 million given to missions since Heritage Baptist Church inception. But the amazing thing is, that's not all that amazing. It's good. It's great. But the fact is, over 1 million of that was given in just the past 4 years. So out of 22 years, it took you, 18 to raise the first 2 million and only 4 or 5 to raise the one. What? That is amazing. That is amazing. So we praise the Lord for that. And I saw the line, the wall of missionaries that are being helped through this ministry. I'm telling you, we cannot even imagine the fruit and the rewards that are going to come your way in heaven because you put a little bit on that missions envelope. Amen. Unbelievable. And what a year it's been for you as well. What a year. What a last 12 months has been for you. 30 to 35 families joined over the last 12 months. Record number of salvations and baptisms. Guatemala and Belize mission trips. Are those medical trips? Medical trips? And I just received the word, too, last night, 108 saved in Mexico City recently. Can we just stop for a minute and just say, glory to God? Okay, then let's do it. Glory to God. Amen. Because He is the one to get all the credit. Amen. He's the one to get all the praise and all the glory and just hallelujah to the Lord. It's all Him. It's all Him. And so we praise God for you. And it's been a year of progress for you. It's been a year of moving forward. But you know, that's exactly the kind of God that we serve. That's how our God operates. Now I realize that in the Bible it says in 46:10, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I know it says that. And I also know that we're to take time just to meditate and to quiet ourselves from the busyness of life from time to time. I know that we have to do that. And Jesus took His disciples aside for much needed rest from time to time. I understand all that. But basically, God is a God of progress. He's a God of the future. He Himself transcends time and space, but we do not. He, even though we're limited by time and space, He created us as eternal beings, and He wants us to keep an eye to the future always. Now think about it. When Adam and Eve sinned, God revealed to them the prophecy of the Savior in Genesis 3:15, and He told them to live in light of the future. When Job was in bad shape, I mean in real bad shape, he made this statement. He said in Job 19:25 and 26, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." What was he doing? He was looking to the future. Abraham was instructed by God to leave the land of idolatry and paganism that he was born into and go until God told him to stop. In Hebrews 11:10, we read, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." He was looking to the future, living to the future. Moses, when Moses and the children of Israel were pinned against the Red Sea by Pharaoh's army, they were scared, and rightfully so. It looked like they were about to be massacred, but we read in Exodus 14:15, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they," what? "Go forward." Yeah. And you know the story. God parts the sea and they march over to the other side on dry ground. And we can go on in the Old Testament. But let's consider the New Testament for a minute. How many times and in how many ways did Jesus instruct His disciples and us to go, to move forward, to progress? And ultimately, His final and His all-inclusive command to His church in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 was to what? Go, capital G, go. Always moving forward, always progressing. His final command and the church's commission was to go. The Apostle Paul, his primary prayer for all the saints was that they would progress in their knowledge and understanding of God and to constantly be aiming higher and higher in their fellowship with Christ. All right? Now listen, let me just stop right here just for a second and say this. Really, no preacher loves getting up and being the first preacher after lunch. Because I know that if I don't really do something and stay animated or whatever, you got to stay awake on purpose. I'm not going to be that animated this afternoon, and I've only got a few minutes. I'm not going to be here long, so I'm going to encourage you, stay awake on purpose. I think that the Lord has, I've been working on this for about 2 weeks. It's been stirring in my heart and my mind for this moment, and we only have a few moments. So I just want to challenge you and encourage you for the next maybe 10 minutes. I'm serious. I don't have very long at all. All right, so let me repeat that last one, okay? The Apostle Paul, if you read him, if you know anything about him, if you've read his books, his primary prayer for all the saints was that they would progress in their knowledge and understanding of God. and to constantly be aiming higher and higher in their fellowship with Christ. He said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, one thing I do, forget the past." He said, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what he was talking about? Failures and successes. You can't live or go forward on yesterday's successes. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I go forward, reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Even when he was writing to his preachers, he couldn't help himself. He had to look to the future, and he made sure they did. He said in Titus chapter 2, you know the verse, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world," doing what? "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ." He was always looking to the future. He was telling them, look to the future. And then, of course, the Bible ends with a view to the future. Now look, go ahead. This is the only verse I'm going to have you turn to, the only passage. So go ahead and turn, in, if you would, to Revelation 22. Revelation 22, last chapter in the Bible. Let's just read a few verses beginning in verse 1, all right? When you get to Revelation 22, say amen. All right, Revelation 22, verse 1. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants," watch this, "the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." God created us, and then he saved us to look to the future. Yes, we're to live every day in the light of his soon return. I believe that. I try to pray. When I pray, and especially publicly when I pray, I want to always say it to remind people, Lord, help us to live in light of your coming. Let us always be looking for his coming. And the fact is, if we did, it would more than likely change most of us for the better. But we're not to just sit around and pine for the sweet by and by. We're to stay busy in the nasty here and now. Amen? We're to stay busy. We're to keep doing what we've been doing. We're to take today. And so let me turn that around. You, Heritage Baptist Church, on your anniversary, you're to keep doing what you've been doing. Today, stop today. Just stop. Take today. Thank God for all that he's done. Amen. Over the past 12 months. Look back on the past, revel in it, look at the pictures and say, man, that was good. Man, I really enjoyed it. And then 12 months from now, do it again. And look back and say, man, it was wonderful, wonderful. But then tomorrow, get up and do it all over again. Just keep on doing what you've been doing. Take today to thank God where he's brought you from, and then get busy tomorrow doing the same thing. I actually want to show you one more verse. Go ahead and turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want to show you this because there's such a truth here, and many times we read it with a superficial reading and never really understand what it means. But in Philippians chapter 3, we know the passage, but many times this one little portion of Scripture, we just kind of pass it by. But he said in verse 13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you." Now look at verse 16. "Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule." Let us mind the same thing. He said, what got us here will get us further. Whatever we did to get us to this point, if we keep on doing it, it'll take us even further. Now, here's what happens in a lot of our lives. We have an argument with our wife, or our relationships begin to sour. Maybe we have a financial crisis. There's a situation that comes up in our life. And so we launch into crisis mode. And all of a sudden, these wheels start turning and we start thinking, okay, I got to do this and this and this to get things back on par. And so we get into crisis mode and we start doing all these things and we start here, but we know that we need to be here just to get back on par. So we do these things in crisis mode so that we can get back to par. And then when we get back to par, we go, But what's the truth? The truth is, if we keep on doing what we did through crisis mode to get here, if we keep on doing those things, we'll be here. And then if we keep on doing those things, we'll be here. But that's not what happens. Zephaniah, the prophet said, God said through Zephaniah the prophet, he said, I'm going to go through Israel with a candle and I'm going to look for those who are resting on their lees and I'm going to judge them. He said, I'm going to punish them. Because they got to the point where they thought, oh, there's no consequence. God's not going to do anything good or bad. So let's just rest on our lees. Let's just sit back and rest on yesterday's successes. God said, you can't do that. So we don't want to get to where we got to launch crisis mode just to get back to par. Hey, man, what you've been doing up to this point, look what it's gotten you. Look what God has done through the effort and through the prayers, through the zeal, through the love that you have for him and his church. Look where he's brought you to this point. Now you can't say, we've arrived. Can't do it. Because then you're going to be back down here and you're going to have to launch all over again just to get to here. When God really has, he really wants you to be here or maybe here or may, who knows where God wants to take this thing. But you just can't stop. Keep doing what you've always done and you'll keep moving forward. You'll keep making progress. God is a God of progress. He is a God who wants us to keep moving forward. In fact, what happened to the children of Israel when God told them to move forward and they didn't? They refused. What happened? Well, we all know what happened. They ended up 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and eventually that generation dying off and never even got to see the promised land. You know, now I'm not saying that we disobeyed God in any stretch of the imagination, but you know, I just hate that. Maybe that's just too strong a word, but I don't know of a better word to use. So I hate that we left when we left and we didn't get to see this building come up because it came up right after we left. Maybe I was what was holding y'all back. I don't know, but all I know is that after we left, a whole lot of things started happening that we kind of missed out on. But we're back now, amen. We're back home now, but here's the thing. They had a command from God. And they had the protection of God, they had the promise of God, they had the provision of God, and they had all that they need to move forward. They had all the resources that they needed in God himself, yet they defied him and it cost them dearly. God is a God of perpetual forward motion. I believe that. We know from Psalm 124 that he doesn't sleep nor slumber. He's a God of progress. I don't believe for a minute we're going to be sitting around on a cloud playing a harp when we get to heaven. God's got a job for us to do. We're going to be busy. Not to the point of being wore out. It's going to be a joyful busyness. Amen? But here's what I'm saying. If God gives you a vision through your God-given, God-ordained leadership, then know that your resources are in God and just faith up, amen, just faith up and move forward to the glory of God. Now, here's another reason why you have to keep moving forward. God might see fit that this ministry continue for another 22 years or 42 or 102. Because as far as churches go, this church isn't very old. Amen. Someone has got to fill his shoes. Someone is going to have to stand up here and lead the next generation. And they need to have a legacy of men and women who love Jesus and his church enough to keep moving forward. Men and women who didn't rest on their lees like they did in Zephaniah. Men and women who believed in a God who could impact their generation if they just didn't quit. Hang in there for another 22 years. Hang in there like a hare in a biscuit, amen? Yeah. I always get somebody to curl their when I do that. Hang in there. Stick with it. Stick with it like buttermilk on a billy goat's chin. Amen? Just stick with it. Why? Because we serve a God of progress. Because we serve a God who is ever pointing us to the future. Amen. I love you, church. Amen. And God bless you.